This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell? Man, how you doing today?
I am doing Fantastimo.
Oh, okay. Fantastimo. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Mo Bell, Mo Problems. That's what I heard.
Yes, that as well. Those are things.
I'm excited. We've got a episode of The Flash to talk about. Always excited to hang with you for a bit. And actually, I'm right. This is really interesting because I think the last time you and I recorded, I think this is right. I was making gumbo. Is that right? I feel like that.
I think so. Yes.
Okay. So
it was Mardi Gras.
Well, so this is the thing. I once again am right in the middle of making gumbo.
That is just bizarre.
I know. Well, no, it's not as bizarre as it might sound, because tomorrow, as we record this episode, I will be competing in a gumbo cook-off. And so I've been in the process of refining this particular recipe. And I all of a sudden, as I was sitting down to record, had flashbacks to, like jumping back and forth between like pulling the duck out of the oven and like putting the thing on the boiler and all this stuff. It's like, oh, wow, this
duck.
Is Yeah. Oh, man. I make a duck oyster gumbo that you would not believe. I guarantee that I will be walking away with the prize this time tomorrow. Well, not this time tomorrow, but this time the next day. I will have it in my possession.
Isn't it? I thought it was non-traditional to mix like poultry and seafood.
Ah, see, but I found a way. I found a way, Bell.
Look at this guy. He's carving paths in gumbo engineering.
I'm telling you, man, it's the gaminess of the duck. And I don't just go oysters. I go smoked oysters. So it's the Ooh. Smokiness of the oysters. Those two kind of pair well in a way that you would not believe. But I'll have to cook it for you sometime, man. I think you'd like it.
You stood on the shoulders of geniuses, and now you're patenting it and you're selling it. And
I'm not.
We used the Jurassic Park quote last week from they never, you know, your scientists never always sat around thinking about whether or not they could and never asked whether or not they should. Well, there's another scene, you know, where he's reprimanding John Hammond and the shoulders of giants. And
I got the reference. I just don't think it's appropriate. But Bell,
no, it's not.
Welcome to Gumbo Park.
I would like to go to that park. That sounds delicious.
Oh, let's say le bon temps roulé, my friend. Let's go ahead and jump into this episode, though. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Let's get into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 2 of Season 9. Fear, no evil. Nope. Hear, no evil. Directed by Eric Wallace and story by
Jonathan Butler and Kristen Kim.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, air quotes, Caitlin introduces herself as Snow, a blank slate resulting from the Consciousness Resurrection Chamber, also known as the CRC's malfunction. Mark Blaine has Team Flash try and reverse the process, but secretly tries to restore Frost as well, resulting in another malfunction. They learn restoring Caitlin and Frost is impossible and vote on who to restore, but ultimately decide to let Snow choose. Meanwhile, Hartley Rathaway is attacked by a new fiddler and goes to Star Labs for help. After talking with Snow, he tries to kill the fiddler, but Flash convinces him not to, and they rescue his boyfriend Roderick and their crew from a vibrational prison. Mercer steals Hartley's sonic gauntlets and retreats with the fiddler, who Team Flash identifies as Andrea Wozzeck. Snow chooses to live her own life as Keone, and Hartley destroys the CRC, enraging Mark, who vows to get even with Hartley. The speedster uses the sonic gauntlets to stabilize into a physical form before planning to make Central City pay for Barry's actions. The speedster, so it's Red Death. Let's just say it's Red Death.
But they don't know that. They haven't named her yet.
In the
closed captions?
No, not closed captions. I want to say it was in the CW app, like description of the episode.
The CW app is not canon, Bell. Come on.
Okay. Yeah.
Next thing, you'll be whipping out the CW seed and be like, look at Ray. Remember Ray? Remember when Ray showed up for like 5 seconds in a crossover? See, it's all connected.
Okay, then the mysterious dark speedster. We'll go with that for now.
Nah, it's Red Death. It's fine. We know what's going on. The kids don't know, but we know what's going on. All right, Bell. You know, and even just like reflecting on this episode, I am another Family Guy reference comes to my mind, which is that's right, kids. It's a Meg episode. There's the clicker. No one would blame you. That's how I feel whenever there's a Caitlin Snow focused episode, which I guess Caitlin Snow not in this episode, but this is, you know, the Snow Frost of it all.
The Frost siblings.
Yes. Yeah. And we have a third Frost sibling. You went in the last season of the show. I got nothing to lose. I've never liked where they've taken this character. That is, you know, well documented on this podcast. But I mean, like this whole the Snow thing, you had a great opportunity to reinvent this mess of a character into like an awesome like rogue and turn her into like a really epic actual villain that she never really fully became. Like even with the Frost thing, you ran to make Frost a hero again. Like as soon as you introduced that concept, like this could have been the opportunity to give us the actual Killer Frost or Killer Snow, if you will, that many of us kind of wanted to see. But no, Belle, no, we go blank slate and she's not Killer Snow. She's Healer Snow somehow. That's where we went with this. Complete 180, ran in the opposite direction. Cats and dogs lying together. It's mass hysteria.
So like after all of the stuff she was talking about, how like nature is all Healy and all this kind of stuff, I like being outside. I'm going with this route. I'm going to throw this out there and it's going to be ridiculous and it's going to be insane and they're not going to do it, but it'd be super cool if they did. Poison Snow.
No.
Poison Ivy. Killer Frost. Snow. Come on.
Well, there is something to be said for the fact that the series has always played fast and loose with the DC lore. And that, you know, even at its inception, I mean, like, I think we're pretty cool with a lot of the things. I mean, the exploration of a universe in the beginning, I know this makes some people mad, but in the beginning, with no Superman and no Batman, allowed for this kind of vacuum for the Flash and Arrow to be the Superman and Batman of this universe. And that was kind of cool. They were the brave and the bold, if you will. And then even later on, when we got, you know, we did get kind of the super Bat families, there was a lot that was kind of teased out about what would it look like for a Supergirl Batgirl team up that we never really saw. You know, that check never got cashed. In fact, if you look at this like franchise, the DC TV universe as a whole, I feel like it is a great, and one day will be, a great exploration of amazing ideas with really messed up execution. And I'm not necessarily talking about story, although an argument can be made. I'm actually talking about more of like behind the scenes. Like we know that certain people weren't getting treated very well. We know that certain people weren't always getting along with everybody. We know even in this episode when Iris was like, you know, choosing whether or not to get Frost or Caitlin, and she's just like, Frost, I got my reasons. And it's like, you kind of feel like maybe that's a little bit of a nod to the fact that it is at least rumored, let's say, that these actresses don't exactly get along very well. You know what I mean?
Is that true? I hadn't heard of that. I was always wondering.
It's true that it's a rumor, Bell. That's what I'm saying. It's okay. It's a rumor.
Yeah. I was always wondering
never
who.
Really dove into, but you know.
Yeah. I was always curious as who, you know, Iris was having a beef with on set.
Was Iris having a beef with? Was someone having a beef with Iris?
Yeah, that's true. Whoever, like there was beefing that yes. was happening. I was curious as to, you know, what the sitch was, because I'm a very nosy person and I need to know these things that don't pertain to me whatsoever.
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those situations. We've never been like a gossipy type show, but I think about the fact that there's just a lot of deep logistics that has to go into pulling off some of the things they wanted to do. And a lot of it was just not handled very well. I mean, like, again, like you look at what happened over at Batwoman and just kind of, you know, the way in which a lot of these characters have had to be recast and reorganized and reworked because of what was going on behind the scenes and because of how the talent was treated and not really cared for appropriately. And so anyway, all that to say, Healer Snow is here, Belle. But not only is Healer Snow here, we are also reintroduced to Hartley. I'm glad to see a familiar face with a returning rogue. Of course, Hartley being the Pied Piper. This is an early, I want to say he was first introduced all the way back in season one, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. And then he was flashpointed into kind of a good guy. And then he came back as a bad guy, but he was like a mafia style bad guy and less of a, yeah. One where Flash is able to be like, okay, fine. You can do all your criminal stuff, but no metahuman criminal stuff.
Right. Yeah. his character got reinvented three or four times, but therein lies, you know, sort of the timeline. But no, Hartley's back. I like that he's just as absolutely just the worst as like that was classic Hartley, you know, like he was just the worst to everybody.
Yeah. Just complete jerk. Absolutely. Classic Hartley.
Yeah. So, you know, it's good to kind of see a return to form from that standpoint. Kind of cool concept with, you know, Pied Piper going up against the Fiddler. I think that's kind of neat thematically, at the very least.
Yeah, you know, you always kind of figure out they're probably on the same side. They would never fight, but they're both Sonic-based, and it would be neat if they did, and they did, and we got to see that, and that was pretty cool. And apparently, Sonic fiddles from the future or from an alternate dimension or whatever can put your heart into arrhythmia and keep it there, because OMG science.
Yeah, of course. Dude, OMG science was all over this thing with like the whole CRC, and it's like, whoa, wait, but her brain map patterns are on the flux capacitor. Like they just like made up words, you know, they're just making up words back there. Like just OMG science all over the place.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It just had to be wasted on a Caitlin episode.
Well, wasted.
I mean, we got the OMG science. I don't know.
This is a Legends thing, isn't it? This is very Legends, isn't it?
No. This is nowhere near the level of Legends ridiculousness. And the difference is that because Legends leans into its ridiculousness heavily. A lot of in jokes, a lot of things that like, you know, they're winking at the camera, you know, right. And so it makes it's you're just like, yeah, of course they're in on it. So it's fine. It's harder on a show like The Flash because there is a lot of ridiculousness. And, you know, for Barry, who's supposed to be this, you know, scientist guy and this detective and stuff, and for him to say these things and not wink at the camera, like, I don't know. I've come to accept it from The Flash and it's fine. And it's, you know, because at a certain point you have to start getting into the OMG science and the ridiculousness because it's a comic book show. And so I've accepted that, but I think the ridiculousness in Legends is a little bit better played off just because of, you know, the feeling that they're in on the joke and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. I mean, like, I hear you. All right. So, and maybe this is like a broader, you know, conversation obviously, but like to make the comparison, you know, a talking raccoon who goes around with a giant gun and a, you know, walking tree, that's OMG science ridiculousness. You know what I mean? Like, none of this makes any sense. The fact that Rocket was like one of the Avengers in Endgame, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like that's preposterous. That's absolutely preposterous, especially if you've watched some of the other things. None of this makes any sense. But the reason it works is because of the earnestness. You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of invited into a world where this seems to make sense in some form or fashion. And this, I don't know, I feel like there's not as much of an earnestness. And I think, you know, part of that just comes, we're 9 years in, we've got a cast that honestly just a cast of characters that look exhausted with each other. Everybody just kind of looks like, no, I'm being dead serious. And I'm sorry. But like I said, we're here at the tail end. I got nothing to lose. I'll burn the whole thing down with, no, I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, everybody looks super exhausted. They're ready to go on and do other things. And it's kind of like, how on earth? This show probably should have like ended after three seasons, to be honest.
I mean, well, when you have such a great first season with such a great villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I almost would have been happy with one season.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Great events and all that kind of stuff. So that's yeah. This show's done some great things. Let's be real.
No, you're exactly right. And like, look, I tip my hat to him with especially like Crisis in particular. I mean, fantastic. You know, maybe not as fluid as like you look at what they did with what they had. This is a show that began during an era of TV that was coming to its close. And a new era of television emerged probably about around the time of like season three, maybe season four, maybe a little bit earlier. But yet this show decided not to necessarily like either come to a close and then relaunch the franchise or something like that in like the new modern era. They stretched out this kind of old model beyond the time that it really makes any sense. And, you know, it's kind of one of these situations that leads us now to the place where, like butter spread over too much bread, these storylines are like, we're really doing another Caitlin Snow alternate personality. And instead of like doing a villain with it, we're going back to this is a heroic character. Like, why, Belle?
I mean, we don't know yet. I'm holding on to my Poison Snow theory that's never going to happen, but I'm holding on to it. But and I agree with you 100%, because like I think the thing that's been bothering me about it is that like we got three flashbacks at the beginning of this episode, two of which were things that happened moments prior.
Yes.
The third was something that happened last season, right? And then all of a sudden, without any sort of context or anything like that, oh, by the way, there's a third personality that Papa Frost wanted to insert into her daughter that. And maybe I'm just misremembering, and they talked about this in previous seasons, especially the one around, around Frost's dad when, they had that whole fight stuff there. I don't remember them ever. I mean, we've known about the Frost personality. We've known there's been a split there. And then we had them split up into two separate people, and we had all that kind of stuff. Was there ever any mention of a third personality?
I mean, everybody's acting like they knew about it. So it's like, oh, here's the third one.
Oh, yeah. Barry's like, I looked through all of his files and I found this thing, and he really wanted a third daughter named Keown. And I was trying to figure out, Keown, is that from something? But I had no idea how to spell that.
It's all right. So this is, this is actually a good opportunity, too, because like when he said it, I too did not know how to spell it. But it is K-H-I-O-N-E, which, let's see, Keown was a nymph of Mountain Hemos. In Thrake, in North Greece. She was the daughter of Boraz, god of the north wind, and Orithia, the lady of the mountain gales. So,
she's also appeared in comics. Like, I think that's the actual like Greek representation, right?
Well, but all the Greek gods have appeared in
well, that's DC true. Comics. That's true. Is this a DC comics? It's Riordan. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, goddess of snow. Okay. So they're still going the snow angle, even though there's, plants and nature based stuff that they're talking about here.
Yeah. Doesn't snow actually kill the plants? I've got a lot of dead plants outside from this.
Got a lot of limbs in my yard,
Oh, life is so beautiful. It's so great. It's just, everything's alive. Then snow comes and kills it. Keown, you kill it. That's what you do. Maybe this is her turn, I guess. I don't know. I don't care, Belle. I don't care.
But I don't know. I'm still holding on to a Killer Snow sort of thing. I mean, that whole conversation that she had with Hartley about, you're not changing because, or what did she say exactly? It was something like your decision to change because of your love.
Oh, yeah.
It's not
a
choice that you made. You haven't made that choice yet.
You did it for him, not for yourself.
Yeah. And so, maybe she ultimately decides that, like, I do want to kill people. I don't know.
You know what? At the end of the day, you're right. I was the happiest when I was, like, robbing banks and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. So I'm still holding on for that. I'm still hoping that maybe we'll get something interesting like that out of it. But I don't know. I'm just, I'm way more interested in Red Death. I would like more than 30 seconds of advancement of that storyline per episode. I think that's way more interesting. The fact that he's getting the rogues together to fight the Flash, I think that's interesting. The fact that we have another heroic Caitlin avatar. Whatever.
Let's talk about this, man. The rogues are coming back together. I mean, like we are seeing a return, if not of the same, I guess person behind the mask, a lot of the same thematic rogues from the past. Obviously, Captain Boomerang back from last week. So this seems to be like he's going to continue to play into this storyline. Hartley, who knows where we'll see Hartley when it's all said and done, but it'd be cool if he actually did make an appearance as we kind of build towards, you know, I mean, like, I'll just go ahead and say it. Next week's episode is called Rogues War. So we know that, you know, the rogues are assembling in some form or fashion because of the machinations of this, you know, unknown speedster who sure looks a lot like Red Death. We've got this fiddler, which is kind of interesting. You know, when she first, I should mention this, when the fiddler first showed up, I thought for sure that she was Weather Witch.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
A lot of rain this episode. You notice that?
Yeah, I did. And that could be a lead into something else, maybe. But like, I saw her musical instrument and I was like, fiddler? And then it turns out, yes, it was a fiddle. And so I was like, oh, cool. I got that one right.
I seem to have flashbacks of when the fiddler first appeared on the show that I made a parody song of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. I think that happened. I think that
the devil went down to Central City.
Except I think it was like the fiddler went down to Central City, or maybe it was whoever the villain was, like Zoom, or I don't know, maybe Cicada. I can't remember which.
Oh God, Cicada. Oh God.
I don't hate the Cicada storyline as much as you do. I actually enjoy that.
That was the storyline that would never end. Oh my God. There's so many opportunities for Flash to like have super speed and just, you know, take care of it. But no.
The storyline that would never end, I think, is kind of the series as a whole.
I mean, I don't know. Like I have some very fond memories of this show. I will say, however, that I've had fond memories in every season. Those fond memories get fewer and fewer.
Well, no, this is all right. So this is the thing, though. You have to understand, I am not trying to bash the show holistically. I know it kind of comes across that. And maybe it's like a little bit of frustration when it comes time to record the episode. I'm like, man, I want to talk about what I like, but man, what do I say when I feel the tiredness that I get from the performances that are coming from the show and the tiredness that you see in, honestly, frankly, the writing of the show. Like, again, we are stretching out the Frost's Caitlin storyline. It has changed very little. There has been so little growth. Like, the best thing they ever did for the character was have Frost as an actual character and let kind of Frost be Frost. But then they destroy that, and then they destroy Caitlin, and now we've got a new Snow sister. And so it's just more of the same, which is frustrating.
I mean, maybe it's like Daniel Pannenbaker is like, y'all want me back. I want to try something new and play a new character. And they're like,
all right. This is the thing. I get the sense that maybe, you know what? There's a reason why Iris wanted Frost and not Caitlin. And that's all I'll say about that.
I don't know. It's, there's been some shakeups at Warner Brothers with, you know, Discover Media buying them.
Yes, this is true.
Lots of drama there as they just, you know, decide to scrap stuff that's already ready to put on TV and film for a tax write-off. I'm honestly shocked that The Flash survived that process.
That is crazy to me. But you know what? You're alluding to somebody that wears a bat, and that is about to bring us into speedster speculation. But first, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow. Hold on.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Speedster speculation.
All right, man, speedster speculation. Of course, we've got Red Death on the scene. Like, you know it, I know it. We do have the confirmation that the next episode will be Rogues of War, followed directly by the first part of The Mask of Red Death. Now, as I understand it, I do believe this season is supposed to be broken up into these kind of graphic novels, with this concept of Red Death being the kind of the first one. So this is going to be a tight story when it comes down to it.
And that's interesting to do that with Red Death. Like, we have every time we have a speedster villain, it's always a really interesting storyline, I think. And to have this one be the first and not the last, that's kind of an interesting choice, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a heavy hitter, but it is a character that is more associated with Batman than it is with the Flash. Yeah. And yet at the same time, you know, this also gives kind of an opportunity to I give at least a nod. I know just the I don't know. We saw Batwoman, this new Batwoman, appear in the future briefly in last season, if I'm not mistaken. And yet we never actually get a chance to fully meet her or fully engage with her in the present. And so having, I guess, arguably yet again, another version of that Batwoman engage in the present at least kind of gives a sense of connectivity between the Flash and Batwoman that we haven't really seen. Interesting that it's in the form of a villain. And I'm very curious, Belle, as part of this speculation, we see that Red Death wants to take revenge on Central City to make it pay for Barry's actions. What do you feel are Barry's actions against Red Death, given that in the comics, it's kind of Red Death's actions against Barry, right?
Yeah, isn't it? And correct me if I'm wrong here, but like Batman kind of like loses the thread and wants to be more harsh on bad guys. Flash is like, nah. And so he steals Flash's speed and becomes Red Death.
Right. Like if he straps into the front of the Batmobile, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, straps into the Batmobile and drives him into the cosmic tread. No, no. He modified the Batmobile to be kind of like the cosmic treadmill or something. And anyway, stole his speed. That's the important bit there.
Yeah. Essentially kind of harvested the Speed Force from Barry in a fairly gruesome fashion to become this merger of a Bat Flash, if you will. And so this mindset that Red Death is here to take revenge on Central City because of Barry and have justice for something, you know, that the Barry potentially of her universe had done. Interesting. Is it possible that Barry of her universe is a villain? Like that there's a dark Flash of her universe.
That's possible. That could be it. I'm thinking if this Red Death is from the, you know, the main show's universe, that this Red Death is going to punish Barry for his illegal imprisonment and suspension of habeas corpus rights that he did to most every villain in the show. That's got to be it, right?
I mean, that's got to be it right there. Yep. No, that's good. I like that. You know, I'm wondering if we might actually see a case of mistaken identity. Is it possible that we might have a return of another speedster rogue? For example, could we see Zoom? And I'm talking specifically of, you know, pre-Black Flash Zoom, because if that's the case, it's possible that we're seeing another Hunter Zolomon from another timeline that is responsible, like has taken the, you know, taken the name of Barry Allen, kind of like Hunter Zolomon did taking the name of Jay Garrick in our timeline.
Okay, so you're saying that in this Batwoman's timeline, that Zoom took Barry Allen's name, did bad things, which made Batman mad, and now he's somehow in this universe, and he's going to take his revenge in this universe?
Yeah, something like that. All right, so hear me out. First of all, let's just go ahead and acknowledge this. I've been like, and Red Death is not Batman. Red Death is Batwoman.
Well, yeah, right? Like, it would make sense.
We know this is the case.
I feel like for it to make sense in this universe, it would have to be because there's been no Batman.
Yeah. So my thought is that in her timeline,
unless Red Death is Oliver, the Batman of the CW-verse, alternate universe, Oliver takes the Flash speed, becomes Red Death.
It could be. It's not going to. That's not it. No. Hear me out. Okay. So she's from a different Earth. Okay. And we know that multiple Earths have their own timelines. So what I'm proposing is that on her Earth, Hunter Zolomon traveled from maybe another Earth or maybe from her future or something like that and called himself Barry Allen, took on the guise of Barry Allen, and in some ways tricked her, perhaps, and totally like wrecked Gotham and everything else. And in the so she's so mad that she goes and she hunts down this dude. And then he's like, oh, it wasn't me. I'm just Hunter Zolomon. I'm not Barry Allen. But she doesn't care. And she takes Zolomon's speed, all right, somehow harvests it to become Red Death. And then she goes over here. You know, it's not clean, but it might be a thing.
I'm really curious as to how they're going to tie in the multiverse, because I believe at this point all of our characters in the Arrowverse proper, as I guess we could refer to it, think that the multiverse has been condensed down and there aren't any other universes. Is that correct? Yeah,
I think, yeah, at this point. Well, no, hang on, because Cisco went around to chart the new multiverse. They know about it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No. Cisco ran on our Earth to chart villains.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah. So if I'm not mistaken, I think that they don't believe that there is a multiverse anymore, even though we as an audience know there is, because, you know, the DC EU and Batwoman's universe and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really curious as to how they pull that in, you know, and seeing it through a new tech person's eyes like Chester. That should be interesting. But yeah, like, I'm kind of confused as to why Red Death would come to this universe.
Well, because this was Prime. So maybe Red Death is actually going around hunting down Barry Allen's of the multiverse and
to prevent them from like going rogue or something.
Yeah, that could be.
Okay. I could buy that.
Here's the other factor too. So if I'm remembering correctly, Zoom was carried off by the Wraiths, the Ring Wraiths, essentially. And they carry him off and he becomes Black Flash, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we see him before, he's rocking, you know, initially when he's like posing as Jay Garrick, whose pop figure I have on my desk right here, and he's got the yellow lightning, but he can't hang on to it because he couldn't fully connect to the Speed Force. And so because he's like, you know, hooking up that velocity, that sweet, sweet velocity, his lightning ultimately goes blue and starts kind of ripping him apart. But then on top of that, because he's messing around with like time variants, right? Like he was creating multiple versions.
Yeah, yeah. He would kill them and like, create multiple versions. Yeah,
exactly. And so like the Ring Wraiths, the Dementors come flying through and they're like, hey, you can't do that. We're gonna carry you off. And what ends up happening, his lightning goes from blue to red. So there's also a possibility that maybe the Black Flash has somehow reincarnated himself post-crisis, but is still tapping into like that death energy.
That could be interesting. Yeah.
And so that is what Batwoman is actually harvesting to become Red Death.
Because it's definitely a connection to the negative Speed Force.
I don't know that it is. Was it connection to the negative Speed Force when he was the Black Flash?
I mean,
did they ever confirmed that?
I don't know if they confirmed it, but according to our color theory, you know, the only other person
made sense for a couple of years. I don't know if it makes sense anymore.
But I mean, the only other person to have red lightning is Reverse Flash, and he was connected to the negative Speed Force.
Yeah.
So okay, I mean,
it might.
I don't know how they'll explain it, but this thought just popped into my head. This is crazy. So season 2, Earth 2, there's a speedster with purple lightning. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course. That's I'm blanking on his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Did we never saw anything from him again, ever again, right?
No, the Accelerated Man.
Yes. That's him. I don't know why that just popped. We were talking about lightning colors and stuff, and I was like, you know who we haven't seen in a while? Accelerated Man. Like, I remember us like, oh my gosh, the Accelerated Man. And you're like, they're gonna be this cool team up. Nope. Just saw him for a split second. That's it.
Yep.
Anyway.
And well, so there was a debate that was going on around at the time, because some people were saying the lightning was purple, some people were saying the lightning was white. And my argument was that it was white, but like the way that it was shaded, like the whole Earth was shaded with kind of a purplish, but that didn't make his lightning purple.
With the color grading in Earth 2 to make it appear different from Earth 1. Yeah.
But he wasn't from Earth 2. He was like from Earth 19 or something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's a different. Yeah.
Or seven, somewhere in the teens.
We saw him on Earth 2.
No, right? We saw him. No. It was so we saw him briefly when he was dealing with Gypsy.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, you Gypsy. Go back, you think this, you know, you're right. You're like, you reflect back on like some of the great moments of the show. And it's like, yeah, this has been a good show. I mean, like, you know, we're here now, but we've had some good times.
Look, it's not the destination. It's the journey to get you there.
It's sure as heck not the destination. But yeah, you know, that's been a good journey. I like that.
Yeah.
Would you say it's all about the run, Bell?
Ayo, yes, yes, I would. I would say that.
Well, there you go. Any other thoughts about this episode or where we might be heading?
I mean, you know, I'm holding on to my killer snow or poison snow or something just because
you said poison snow. You're going to have to own that now.
I know poison snow because like it's she's Pamela Isley.
Uh-huh.
But it's snow before right. She goes crazy. It's going to happen.
Like Sue Dibney is Catwoman.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Right. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. They listen to our show. The writers listen to our show. They know.
No, we lost.
They're rewriting stuff right now. I can hear the keyboards clicking as they're typing away.
No, we lost them when we dropped the Flash from the title. They're like, oh, okay. I see how it is. Anyway. All right. Well, yeah. There you go. Those are our thoughts for this week's episode. Let us know yours. Head over to twitter.com/TV Talk FM. Use the hashtag #FlashTVTalk. Love to hear what you're thinking. You know, maybe we're out of line. Maybe I'm out of line. Bell is being nothing but charitable and wonderful, as he always is. I'm being all bitter here, but maybe that's because I've been roasting duck all day and I'm starving.
I mean, geez, if I had like delicious gumbo cooking in my house all day and I wasn't able to eat it yet, I would probably be upset too.
It's a long process, buddy, because what you do is you roast the duck, and there's not a lot of meat on duck, but there's a ton of fat. So you render the fat, which you're going to use for the roux. Then you like peel off all of the meat from the actual duck itself and dice it all up and whatnot and put it to the side. Then you take the carcass, if you will, and you put it in a big bowl, you boil it so you get some duck broth. So you're dealing with meat, you're dealing with fat, and you're dealing with broth. You're going to lose every single part of the duck, like a buffalo.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. That's how we do. Anyway. All right. Well, there's our thoughts. Like I said, you know where to hit us up. But that's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry. We'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.